I hear today's story is a good one.
This story is just fascinating, and it's all to do with history. It involves English aristocracy, a trailblazing plant breeder, a shipwreck, floods, and scientists, and a very small strawberry that doesn't look that much, but has this incredible story behind us. There's a newcomer to Gympie State High School's strawberry patch this year in the form of a very old variety. Its red-orange fruit is much smaller and misshapen compared to the large ripe red strawberries you see in supermarkets today. In fact, on appearances alone, the only thing impressive about it is its name.
So they're phenomenal strawberries. These are one of the oldest varieties of strawberries. They're a very small, very intense flavour. They've been donated to us as part of our program here at Gympie High, and also to educate the students more about the history of strawberries here in Australia.
As teacher Bob Leach discovered when scientists from Nambour's Marucci Research Station personally delivered a handful of the plants, the phenomenal strawberry has a phenomenal link to agriculture in the Gympie region. The variety was first developed here way back in 1906. In fact, their story is linked to how the locality Chatsworth, north of the former Gold Rush town, got its name. And as Jason Keating, the regional manager of the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries, explains, this seemingly modest plant played a very crucial role in the Queensland Government crossbreeding programs that formed the basis of Australia's fledgling strawberry industry.
The phenomenal strawberry, which is a mouthful to say, I must say, is being used in our breeding program in Marucci for many, many years, because of its characteristics to mitigate pest and disease. So what? Well, our plant breeder Mark Harrington's daughter did a research project on the origins of the phenomenal strawberry. It's an amazing story that we stumbled across. I had no idea myself about the history of it, but when I learnt about it, the story had to be told.
Researcher Anita Barnes delved into history and discovered the phenomenal strawberry never would have been developed if not for an adventurous gardener who survived first a long journey at sea, then disaster on reaching Australia. Gympie State High's Deputy Principal Sally Becker takes up the story.
The 6th Duke of Devonshire, William George Cavendish, appointed Sir Joseph Paxton to be his chief gardener. And Sir Paxton appointed an apprentice gardener, George Flay. And George Flay came out to Australia on an immigrant ship called the Phoebe Dunbar in 1856. And the arrival, though, wasn't without incident, as the captain of the ship, the Phoebe Dunbar, mistook Point Lookout on Stradbroke Island for Cape Morton on Morton Island, inevitably running ashore before making Amity Point. So George Flay survived that shipwreck and some years later took on a lot at what is now known as Chatsworth. And it's believed that the name Chatsworth for the district was named after Chatsworth Gardens.
Gympie was in the grips of a gold rush, bustling with miners and the businesses supporting them. Pioneering George Flay battled the elements to realise his dream of creating his own horticultural garden, growing strawberries, more than 250 varieties of roses, as well as ranunculus, gladioli and watsonias, fruit trees and 40 different types of grapes. In 1893, the Gympie Times and Merry River Mining Gazette ran a story on his gardens, writing, "After years of labour and repeated disasters from floods and hailstorms, he has at last succeeded in transforming a one-time wilderness into a veritable Garden of Eden. Families would dress up in hats and suits and long flowing dresses to visit."
And his own property became known as Green Park, but locally it was called Strawberry Gardens because on Sundays family picnics would take place there and the strawberries are eaten along with scones and cream and all that sort of stuff.
George Flay was experimenting with crossing different types of strawberries. In 1901, he delivered a box of fruit to town, including a variety called the Gympie, the result of his experimental breeding program. By 1908, his son Charles was proudly advertising in the newspaper that he'd taken over management of the popular tourist attraction. "Visitors to Green Park Strawberry Gardens may rely upon obtaining my famous new strawberry phenomenal, satisfaction guaranteed."
And he used two existing varieties, the Pink Prolific and Federator, to produce the new variety. It's a relatively small fruit compared to today's strawberries. It's highly flavoursome though, and it's got some features that don't make it a really useful strawberry in today's market. For example, it's a little softer, which means it's more susceptible to damage and perishing in a punnet. But it's being used now because of its disease-resistant qualities. And so plant breeders are using the phenomenal genetics and crossbreeding to try and develop a species that has today's characteristics of a large fruit, bright red colour, etc., etc., but with disease resistance as well. So it's experiencing somewhat of a resurgence.
Now retired, plant breeder Mark Harrington kept the phenomenal strawberries alive at the Marucci Research Station for decades, making it possible for Jason Keating and his scientists to bring the strawberries back to the region where the variety was first developed.
That's right. The phenomenal story is back in Gympie, the place that started the Queensland strawberry industry. And the actual block of land where it's first started in Chatsworth has been identified. So this is now being told, and I think it's a wonderful story for the Queensland strawberry industry to tell.
And as Bob Leach explains, the phenomenal strawberry story has taken a twist. Since the plants arrived from the research station, more have been unearthed, donated by local residents who also have a linked history to the fruit.
There was a story in the Gympie Times, so then we ended up then with some older residents of the town who have similar varieties and claiming that they might even be phenomenals that their parents had grown when they were young. So a 90-year-old who says that his parents grew strawberries and he still got the variety that he's donated to the school now, which is these strawberries here.
Wow, so potentially this historic breed kept alive through generations in people's backyards.
It sounds that way, and the connection with Gympie is remarkable. So the strawberry industry has a real connection with Gympie in Australia, and Chatsworth in particular.
So how's that for a story? That's Bob Leach.
I wonder if Mark from Chatsworth is listening this morning.
Yeah, well, I would like to thank researcher Anita Barnes, her dad, Mark Harrington, the scientist at Marucci Research Station. I spoke to him yesterday. He calls himself a bit of a hoarder. So he had 50 of the plants that he kept for decades because he'd recognised that lots of people liked it because it tastes, inverted commas, like strawberries used to taste. Mm. And so it's a much smaller fruit, as Sally Becker was saying, not great in terms of packing it because it goes soft very easy. And thanks to Rochelle Bull, the local history officer at the Gympie Regional Library, who also helped me dig out a heap of information because I'm still working on getting the online up for that, getting a lot of historic photos of what George Flay looked like, and couldn't find any of Charles, his son.
So are we saying that George Flay is the founding pioneer, the founding father of the strawberry industry in Queensland?
Well, he would have been a mover and shaker. See, it's very hard to find that information going back, so that's why it's amazing.
And the strawberry industry began north of Gympie in Chatsworth.
Yeah, they think that he's the first one to actually breed strawberries. So he was getting them in from other parts of the world and then breeding them, crossbreeding them to make varieties that were better suited for our climate. So he developed one called the Gympie. And, it's pretty interesting. What I would like to know, if anybody's out there, is what happened to Green Park or Strawberry Gardens at Gympie? So you can imagine this place where people were going all dressed up to go and have picnics and have their Devonshire teas and walk the gardens and see all the amazing plants that the Flays had planted. So
with a very English fruit.
Yeah, Charles Flay died in 1937. So, and then from the information that Rochelle gave me, it looks like the property went up for sale then. So,
Flay descendants, perhaps, Jen, is that what she's saying? Or anyone with the stories?
Anybody who may know.
Early on farms?
I'd really be interested to hear.
There's bound to be someone, Jen. What a great story, as always, Jen.
You've met
your usual high watermark. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
See you next week. And the Country Hour Midday, of course, 1300 903 222 is the number here at ABC Radio, 1300 903 222. Here's your news.